Good song, old song, good song. Amen. Should be our philosophy. Just keep working till he comes. It'd keep us out of more trouble. Amen. If we were just work until he comes. You know the great thing, if you're busy working until he comes, you don't notice what everybody else is doing. It makes your life a lot easier. Amen. Matthew 23 tonight, if you would. Matthew 23 this evening. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23. We'll deal with two chapters this morning, so tonight we're just going to deal with two verses. Matthew 23. Can't guarantee it'll be any shorter, but it'll only be two verses. Matthew 23 and verse 23. We're going to jump in the midst of the context here. Matthew 23, verse 23. Jesus is speaking. If you have a red letter Bible, it should be in red. It says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain in a gnat and swallow a camel. Don't you notice the last phrase in that verse? These you ought to have done, not to leave the other undone. Now in context, Jesus is dealing with the Pharisees, and he's talking about their emphasis on outward religion, and how they had made themselves outwardly right because they're observing certain outward laws, that therefore they felt they were right with God. He makes that clear, very clear, right after our text, when he starts talking about the Pharisees who clean the outside of the cup, but not the inside of the cup. We understand that illustration, don't we? You don't want to go to somebody's house and you pick up the cup and the outside is beautifully clean and there's old dried milk in the bottom of the cup. It's not very appealing, is it? And so he deals with the Pharisees about the fact that you need to be both clean inwardly and outwardly. And he talks here in verse 23 about things they should have done and other things they should not have left undone. Now, we're not going to use it in context. We're going to make some application of it. We're going to, as we've been talking about an institute, you know, application should rest upon interpretation. So we're not going to twist the verse, but we are going to make another application of it as well. So here's our thought for tonight. What do we do with so much to do? What do we do with so much to do? So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing on our study of His Word this evening. All right? Now, Brother Sutherland, I want you to lead us in prayer, if you would. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. What do we do with so much to do? You know, I say this a lot about a lot of things, I guess, because it's true, but more so today, I think, than any other time in my life, the Christian life is busy. Busy, isn't it? Now, let's be honest. Sometimes our Christian life is busy because we're also busy about a whole lot of things that aren't really involved in the Christian life. Don't make them wrong, but we're involved in a lot of things. And so it's extremely busy. I think we can say this, you know, most people's jobs, if they have a secular job today, most people's jobs probably require more of them today than it has in the past. I think most of you are in the world of work now. I haven't worked in the secular world in quite a while now, but I talk to enough men who have, and it seems like every employer's motto is pretty much the same now, more with less, more with less. You have less manpower, less money, less everything, but you have to get more done. And I know that you think your job is the only one who has that, but apparently everybody in our church thinks their job is the only one who has that, because every man I talk to usually complaining about the same thing, about the requirements of work now and how much less there is to work with. So our jobs are consuming more time, or your jobs are consuming more time because of the time that we're in. Work takes more time, more worry, more energy than it has in the past. I think we can also say this, if we had to be honest, most Christians have more stuff today than we've ever had at any time in the past. We are probably the wealthiest generation of Christians who've ever lived, and we may not be rich by the world standards, but we have a lot of stuff. And when you have a lot of stuff, it consumes time. And I think it certainly would be true of us, more so than we would probably like to admit, that we wrestle with the cares of this world because we have so much stuff. We work, you know, it's easy, isn't it, sometimes feel in your life like all you do is work and take care of your stuff. Work and take care of your stuff. I'm working on my car, I'm working, taking care of my house, working and taking care of all of our stuff, managing all of our stuff and taking care of it. Because we have a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Come on, amen. We have a lot of stuff to take care of. You know, in the past, Christians haven't had the houses and the things that we have today to take care of. Not that they didn't have houses, but they don't have all that we have to manage and handle and take care of. You know, they weren't taking care of 3 or 4 cars and all the other stuff that we take care of today. And so there's more stuff to do. I think it's also true that the world's gotten more wicked. I know you have noticed that, but I thought I would mention it in case you hadn't noticed it, that the world has gotten more wicked. Because the world has gotten more wicked, the education system has become absolutely and utterly influenced by secular humanism. And so as a result of that, more and more Christians are now homeschooling because of that. And homeschooling, I know you don't know this, but it takes a lot of time, all right, and effort and energy, a lot of focus. Parenting of itself is a lot of work. Homeschooling just adds much more to that as well. So our time is consumed with that. And I know many of you homeschool, and so your time is consumed. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. And in all fairness, we'd have to admit also that in church today, we're busier than in previous generations of churches. We do more in church now than we used to. Used to be, you just came to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, had visitation, you were done. We do a lot more now than we used to. Some of that good, maybe some of it not as good. I don't know. It depends on how we measure it. I do know this much. It's a no-win situation, because if you have all this stuff, people go, we're so busy. All we're doing is a church all the time. If you don't have it, people are going, how come we don't ever do anything at church? And so it's hard to balance that out and find a medium somewhere in there. But and I also know that it's one of the easiest targets, because when we get overloaded, many times the first things people say is I spend all my time at church. It's amazing how we don't notice how much time we spend on our smartphone. Amen. But we notice how much time we spend at church all the time. So, but in all fairness, we're busier at church than we ever have been. Then there's the obligations of marriage. If you're married tonight, amen. Can't do anything about that. You're stuck now. So there's the obligations that come with that. Can't get out of that at this point. Not biblically anyway. So there's the obligations of marriage. And let's be honest, and we don't think about this a lot, but if you're single, there's obligations of the single life as well. There's things that have to be done, and you don't have anybody to help share the burden. So there's obligations there. If you're a single parent, which there's more and more of in our time than ever has been, you're parenting by yourself. That's a lot of obligation. If you're the only saved parent, then that's a lot of obligation as well. So all of this just adds more and more. Are you following me? Adds more and more to the pile. Then there's worry over finances. I know you all are so financially secure. It's not a concern of yours, but some of us worry and concern ourselves about finances. There's the worry about that, retirement and paying bills and taxes and the stock market and all the stuff that goes on, because a lot of our retirements are tied up in that. You're not in the military. And so there's all this stuff that goes involved in finances that we're concerned about, and having enough and not having enough. Then there's the demands of extended family. What a blessing. The demands of extended family and friends. And then there's all these things. We got to be honest about this too. There's all these things that we've convinced ourselves, or allowed ourselves to be convinced, that we need. And that we have to do, and that we have to be involved in. I mean, there's sports and clubs and activities and on it goes. All these things that we've convinced ourselves, or we've allowed other people to convince us, that we'll never be well-balanced, and our kids will never be well-balanced if we're not involved in all of this stuff. And it just takes more time. It's just amazing to me that at a time when we're busier than we've ever been, we just keep adding more stuff. And then we allow the world to convince us that we have to have all this stuff, or we're not going to be where we ought to be. And so there's all this extra stuff. And then we would be negligent, I think, if we didn't also recognize the fact that we consume more of our time with our technology than ever in the past. Because we didn't have all this technology in the past. If you have I was going to say this later, but I'll say it now, and then I'll say it later too. And that is that if you have a smartphone, one of the best things, I know an iPhone will do this, because that's what I have, and once you're right with God, probably what you have. But if you have an iPhone, I don't care what you have, I really don't. I'm not married to the Apple, I don't care. But if you have a smartphone, like iPhone, I know, will send you a weekly report on your screen usage. And if you can do that, which I'm assuming other smartphones will do as well, you should do that and see how much time. Because, I know everybody else does, but I know you don't spend much time on your phone. I challenge you to read that weekly report sometime. Find out just how much time you spend on your phone. Because I don't know why we call it a phone anymore. Because if our phone function never worked, most of us would never even notice. All right? Because we don't even talk on the thing. All right? And so we consume all this time with all of this technology as well that we use. All of our time-saving technology that now consumes a huge chunk of our day as well. And so we got all of this stuff happening. We got a lot to do. Whether we have to do it or not, we've brought into our life a lot of stuff to do. So as a result of that, whenever we talk to anybody, we're always what? Busy. Busy, busy, busy. I've talked about it before. I do the same thing. It's kind of our default response now, isn't it? How are you doing? Busy. I think if we weren't doing anything, we'd be busy. All right? It's kind of like, it's almost the new fine. How are you doing? Fine. Now it's how you doing? Busy. Just busy, 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 busy. And the truth is that we're busy. The question, of course, would be, are we busy with the right stuff? Or is everything we're busy with necessary? But we certainly are a busy, busy generation, a busy, busy culture. So with all this going on, it's not hard to see how most of us, and I'm going to be inclusive in this statement because I think it's probably true, that most of us struggle with balance in the saved life. Absolutely struggle with keeping the saved life balanced. And I think that one of the most challenging things in our day is coming to live the saved life in a way that achieves some understanding of balance. To use the old juggling term, how we keep all these balls in the air. without letting something drop or fall or get away from us that we can't afford to let get away. And so we've got to achieve some kind of balance with all this stuff that's going on in our life. And unfortunately, most of us, talking about saved people as a whole, haven't done very well at achieving this. And so as I was thinking about this afternoon, I was thinking about how people handle all the stuff that we have to do in our life and how out of balance so many of God's people are in their saved life. And I kind of categorized them here, several different people. This is not scientific, by the way. Just something I kind of came up with this afternoon. Some people are like firemen. What I mean by that is they live their lives always focused on the part of their life that's on fire at any given moment. Anybody like that? They don't really have any priorities. It's just whatever's on fire at the moment, that's the focus of their life. That's what they're worried about. That's what they spend their time on. That's what they're focused on. And so whatever they've let go, which is usually what catches on fire, that's where they're spending all their time. So they're focused. They're living their life like firemen. They're always running around putting out fires. You with me? Come on, you know somebody like that? Well, do you? You're not married to somebody like that, are you? They're firemen who live their life, go around doing nothing but putting out fires. Then there are drivers. Then there are people who are like drivers who always overcorrect. My dad, bless his heart, as you know, he's in heaven now. I love my dad to death. But he was always an overcorrector when we drove. And we'd get in the car to go somewhere. And when I was a little kid, even when I was a little kid, he did it. Of course, back then, you know, we had the big heavy glass windows and everything was made out of steel, you know. And so we get in the car and go someplace. And if I sat next to the door, whenever he got over to the edge of the road, instead of easing back over, he cut the thing back over. And I'm not kidding you, your head would slam against the window. If you want to know why I am the way I am now, it's because of that. But your head would slam against the window and up against the door. And we were talking about all this. You know how when someone passes away, all sit around, talk about things, laugh about things. We were laughing about it. And said, they talked about how it was in his old age. I said, I don't remember that being in his old age. He did it as long as I can ever remember. It got worse in his old age, but he did it earlier. And some of God's people are like that when it comes to balance in their life. They begin to realize that they've gotten out of balance in some area in their life or something is not being managed they need to. So what do? They overcorrect. And what they do is they go so far the other way that now they begin to fix what's out of balance and stuff over here starts getting out of balance. Are you with me? And so they overcorrect to the point to where they're getting that which was out of balance done, but now they're leaving other things undone in their saved life. And then I thought about there are some people who are like horses with blinders on. I just thought of another illustration about overcorrecting. They're like people in Missouri who can't get used to roundabouts. Pull into a roundabout. And so they go around and around and around in circles because they have no idea what road to get off on. And some people are like that. Amen. They get their life out of balance and something's wrong. And so they're running around and around and around about trying to figure out how to get out. All right. But anyway, some people like horses with blinders on. They've become so focused and so obsessed in one area of their lives that they can't see that they're out of balance in others. They're obsessors. I don't actually think that's a word, but they are obsessors. They obsess over one thing in their life. They're obsessed about homeschool or they're obsessed about some other thing in their life. I can't think of any other illustration off the top of my head, but they're obsessed about various things in their life because they're so focused on that, and they're obsessors, and they don't realize that by obsessing in the one area, then other things begin to come out of balance, and when that happens, there are certain things that begin to define our life. We're defined by homeschooling. We're defined by our job. We're defined by our career. We're defined by sports. A whole lot of other things that can define us because we get so obsessed in one area. We're like people with blinders on. We're so focused on this one thing, we don't see that there are other things that are being left undone in our saved life. And that usually results in calamity in other areas of your saved life because they've been left undone. Now, and the one of the saddest parts about being focused like a horse with a blinder on when it comes to balance in the saved life is we focus on one area and then we don't understand that almost every area in our life, not all, but a lot of the areas in our life are phases of life. And so we're so focused on this thing and it passes away. Now we realize we've devoted our life to this thing that's not even part of our life anymore. Homeschooling is like that. Child rearing is like that. These are phases of life that fade away, pass away. Next thing you know, that's all you focused on your whole life. You got nothing left. It's what ends a lot of marriages. You wonder sometimes, how do people married for 35, 40 years and then get divorced? You think if you put up with each other that long, you could make it a little longer. It's because they've been so focused on child rearing or some other thing that now that phase has moved on, they've so obsessed with that that now they don't have anything in common anymore. And so some people are or much like that. And I think we probably know a few of these people. Some people are like a drowning man. They've got so much going on, then they're so out of balance, they just feel like they're drowning in things to do. I don't know what to do first. They're kind of like, that's another good illustration of the roundabout. They're kind of like the roundabout guy who's going around and around and roundabout. They don't know which priority to get off on because they're just drowning in stuff to do. I think we all feel like that from time to time, don't we? Come on, I'm confessing my sin. I'll tell my wife all the time, I said, I got so much to do, I don't even know where to start, which one to do first. Probably a good idea just to jump in and do something, but we can certainly be that way or get that way in our life. And then lastly, not for the night, but lastly, on the people that we're talking about, then there are the blissfully ignorant crowd. These are my favorite ones. There's the blissfully ignorant crowd who don't seem to realize that their life should be focused on anything. And they're just kind of going through life and nothing ever works right in their life and everything's messed in life and they can't for the life of them figure out why. It's because they've never focused on anything in their entire life. And so we've got all this stuff going on, and as a result of this, all this thing's happening, and so many of God's people struggle with balance in their slave life. Would you don't have to agree out loud with me tonight, but would you agree that to some degree that all of us fit in one of those categories I've mentioned at certain times in our life? May not completely define who we are, but sometimes we run from one description to another. Sometimes we're the drowning guy. Sometimes it's very easy for us to get obsessed with one area in our life, so other things get out of focus. And so that's kind of who we are, and it's easy to do all of these things. Now, Matthew chapter 23, in our text, Jesus, in context, is not talking about the balanced life. He's talking about the balanced spiritual life as far as inward and outward behavior. But in pointing that out, in dealing with this issue, he gives an underlying point that we can apply to our subject tonight. That is that in the saved life, he says in Matthew 23, let's look at it again quickly, in verse 23, he says this, he says, Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23, he says, "Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and cumin and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, mercy and judgment, mercy and faith. These ought you to have done, and to leave the other undone." Now, Jesus makes a point here in verse 23 that we need to understand. That is that in the saved life, and in serving God, and in the Word of God, there are some things that are more important than others. Now, I know we say all the time, you know, all of God's Word's important. Amen. All of His commands are important. All the things of God are important. And that's true. They're important because they're God's. But it would be foolish not to admit that there are some things that are more important than others. And Jesus says that. He says there are some things in the Scriptures and in the spiritual life that are more important than others. Jesus doesn't use the word important. He uses the word weighty. Of course, weighty is obviously a reference to that which is of great importance. Jesus says there are some things in the saved life that are weightier matters, that are of greater importance. Now, this would clearly imply, would it not, as Jesus clearly says in verses 23 and 4, that other matters are not as weighty. Now, this is deep, isn't it? Some matters are weighty. If some matters are weighty, that implies other matters are not as weighty. And Jesus certainly says that in the text. There are some things that are more important than other things. Now, when we start feeling overwhelmed because of all that's going on in our life, our first instinct is to focus on what we think is the most weighty. Isn't that true? Come on, you ever do this? Hey, I feel like I'm all out of balance. I feel like I don't know what I'm going to do with everything I got to do. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get rid of everything that's not the most important. And I'm going to focus on the most important things. Well, there are weighty things in life. Come on, say amen. Our families, our marriage, our walk with God, our service to Him, there are matters in life that are weighty. There are matters in life that are weightier than other matters. And so our first instinct many times is when we start feeling like we're all out of balance, is we decide, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit down and prioritize. And I'm going to figure out what's important and what's not important. And I'm going to get rid of that which is not important. Or I'm not going to spend as much time on it. That less important stuff, that less weighty stuff, is the stuff I'm going to cut loose in my saved life. Well, can I say this also? We're usually not very good at that. We tend to cut loose stuff that's probably more important than we realize. But that's what we tend to do. But I want you to notice what Jesus says about this. Christ said in His response that the answer or the key is to find balance between the two. Because He says this. He says there are some things that are weightier than others. And these you should do. Are you with me? But not to leave the others what? Undone. So Jesus says there's weightier stuff and less weightier stuff. Jesus says, don't just decide for yourself. I'm just going to focus on the weighty stuff, and I'm not going to worry about the unweighty stuff or the less weighty stuff, because that's not as important. No, Jesus says, you got to get the weighty stuff done. But we can't use the weighty as an excuse to let that which is less weighty go undone. He says we have to find a way to do both. We call that what? What's the B word? Balance. He says we got to find balance. That sounds easy, doesn't it? I could quit right now and say, the key, balance. Let's pray. I'll go home. That'd be easy, wouldn't it? But this is what Jesus says. The answer is to get the most important things done without leaving the lesser undone. And that's what balance is, isn't it? It's managing your life so that the important things get done and the lesser important things don't get sacrificed for the sake of the weightier. He says we have to figure out some way to get it all done. Because at the end of the day, it's all important. So much of our saved life is important. Amen? It's just more important and lesser important. And so we have to figure out a way to do both. So Jesus says this is the key. So you might be wondering, how do we go about doing this simple task of balancing the Christian life? Should be easy, shouldn't it? And I'll tell you right now, I don't have a magic pill or a magic bullet. And I certainly can't teach us all to balance a life we've been living for years in one message. But I want to talk about a few things just real quickly to kind of bring all this into perspective a little bit. First of all, whenever I think about balance, whenever I talk to anybody about balance in the office and in detail, I always think about it this way, that you really need to divide your life up into manageable areas. And if you think about it biblically, as we're going to see in the book of Ephesians, because that's where I usually always go, the book of Ephesians divides our life, divides you and me up into three pieces. There's really three parts of our life. And once I get it broken down into three parts of our life, then I can start focusing on managing each part. Listen, you can't manage your life because it all starts running together and blending together, and there's just too much. And so if you understand that I really am, there really are three aspects of my life, and what I've got to do is manage each of those three and then somehow try to find balance in all of that. So I want you to see those three aspects of our life tonight. Look over in the book of Ephesians, if you will. And I've used this, I'm sure, at some point in a message, and I know I use it a lot in talking to people about balance, but in Ephesians chapter 4, chapters 4, 5, and 6 are about our life. And he divides it up in talking about those things in the four different parts, or three aspects of our life. And I'm not giving them in any order priority, just going to give them to you as they're listed here. Remember, done but not undone. So we're not going to put them in priority just as they come to us in the Scriptures. The first area of my life is church and the service of God. That's the first area of my life. Now again, it's not a priority. It's not number one per se. Just the way it comes in the Scriptures. Ephesians 4 verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The whole book of Ephesians is about the edifying of the body of Christ. That's the local church. We have a part in that. Amen. Say amen. We are a part of his body, of his local church. And so that's a part of my life. Come on, for me, not because I'm a pastor, even before I was a pastor, church was a huge part of my life. Right. And serving the Lord. And doing, as Paul calls it here, the work of the ministry. He's not talking here about the ministry as far as a pastor is concerned. He's talking about the ministry of the Lord and serving him. And if you're saved, which most of us are serious about today, if you come to church on Sunday night, you're serious. All right? So if you're here tonight, you're probably serious about the Lord. And so we're concerned about the work of the ministry. We're concerned about church and God's service and living for him. And that's a part of my life. This is the only organization, the local church, is the only organization God ever established for the instruction of his people, for the work of the ministry, and for the advancement of his kingdom. And a place for his people to serve. It's the only place God ever established for that purpose. For that reason, Paul calls this place the place where we do the work of the ministry. This is the only place God designed for the work of the ministry to be done. There's no way that you and I as a child of God can be balanced if church is not in its right place. Amen? Can't be balanced if church is in its wrong place. And so the first area of my life is church. I've got to figure out, I need to understand that that is a part of who I am. It's not something I do. It's a part of who I am. It's a part of my life. I'm a part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't forsake our bodies. And so for that reason, church is a part of it. Then the second part of my life is myself. Myself. And Paul covers that from Ephesians 4, verse 13, all the way over to chapter 5 and verse 20. And he says this in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about every wind of doctrine, of the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceit, but that we speak the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And he goes on and talks about more and more. We're not going to read all of that, but he talks about putting off the former conversation in verse 22. He talks about putting on the new man in verse 24. He goes all the way through this, all the way over to chapter 5 and verse 20, where he talks about being filled with the Spirit, not drunk with wine. And he talks about us as individuals, because there is me. All right, there's my life. You know, I'm a husband, and I'm married, and I'm a pastor, but I'm also a me. All right, and so I also have my life that I have to deal with. And this area is the biggest, probably, of our areas, because this would include my personal walk with God. Verse 13, where it says, till we come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Our goal is to measure to the stature, the fullness of Christ. That would take in my personal walk. That falls under the umbrella of myself. There's my spiritual growth and my discipleship and the truth of the Word of God. That's in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro by every sleight of wind of doctrine, that I allow myself to be discipled, that I learn the Word of God. That's a part of who I am, growing spiritually myself. This would include my responsibilities as a Christian, not just as a church member, but as an individual. He says in verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted together by every joint that supplieth. He talks about every individual within the church supplies part of the church's need. Need the service of God. So it's great that we're church members and it's great what our church is doing. But there's also my service. So that would be included under myself. See what I mean by it's one of the bigger parts? This would include my testimony from chapter 4, verse 17, down to about verse 24, where he talks about our personal testimony. He talks about making sure we're not involved in uncleanness or greediness, that we learn Christ. He talks about that we be careful of our conversation. And he talks about our testimony and how we're to live our life before the world. Then he talks about in verses 25 through 32, he talks about our personal relationships. He says, wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath, give no place to the devil. He talks about corrupt communication. Verse 31, he talks about bitterness and wrath. He starts talking about our individual relationships. Listen, we can't cut people loose in our life who are godly people. There's some people may need to be cut loose, but we can't cut helping others loose. I can't say to myself, I need balance in my life, so I'm going to stop helping other people because I need to focus on myself. No, that's not the right answer. Done, but not undone. And so I need to find balance in all of this. So I need to be concerned about relationships. This, of course, would include my career and my finances and management of my stuff. In chapter 6 and verse 5, it says this, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God. So he talks about our job, our career, certainly would be involved in that, the management of my stuff, my life, down through verse 9. And then this one also, of course, would also take in my individual spiritual warfare, because it's in chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, that he talks about putting on the armor of God. And all this falls under the umbrella of myself. So one of the areas of my life is church, serving the Lord, serving God, the place, the only organization God gave us to serve in and to be discipled in, to be taught the Word of God in. And so we're to be involved in that. Then there's myself. And myself, which we like to think anyway, takes up a lot. All right. And so there's a lot under the idea of myself, my walk with God, my spiritual growth, my testimony, my relationships. All that is a part of myself. That's another part of my life. And then thirdly, of course, would be the home, which Paul covers from Ephesians 5:21, and then all the way over into chapter 6. Of course, we know in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, we get that well-known verse of verses, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Amen. So we get that. "Honor thy father and mother. Fathers, provoke not your children." And we begin to get instruction on the home. And so the other part of my life is home. Now you follow me? I got church, I got myself, and I've got my home. And of course, home is pretty self-evident. This takes in child rearing, if we're married and have children. Takes in marriage, takes in the responsibilities of a family. If you're single, you may not be married, but you still have responsibilities to maintain a home that's a refuge from the world and good for you spiritually, and the duties and responsibilities of a home. You know, marriage has its challenges, but as I said earlier, so do singles. And being balanced in the single life without the accountability of marriage is sometimes a challenge. You know, in marriage, we help keep each other balanced, right? Because if one of us starts getting off track, we got the other one to make sure the other one knows they're getting off track. In single life, you don't have that. And so sometimes that's a challenge to remaining balanced. But again, it's easy to get so focused on the home, if we're not careful, that we leave the others undone. This is where you see these people, you know, who sometimes they homeschool, sometimes they don't, but their home becomes their church. Well, our family is our church. Our home is our church. Well, no, it's not. It's your home and it's your family. They're two separate organizations and entities. And some people get so focused on the home that they get so out of balance that they don't think they need church because, after all, we have our home. And again, Jesus says the home is important. It's a weighty thing. But we can't do one thing and leave the other undone. So the first thing I got to understand when it comes to balancing my life is that my life is made up of three areas: church, me, and home. Church, my life, my home. My church, my life, my home. I'll get it down to right phrasing here in a minute. My church, my life, my home. And so I've got to try to manage these three separate areas of my life and try to keep them all going. Now, I know I've said this probably at some point, because again, I use it all the time in talking to people, but I oftentimes liken these three things unto that old proverbial three-legged stool. You know, you've seen the old three-legged, I'm sure you've all seen three-legged milking stools, all right, but three-legged stool. If you know, this is not very deep or scientific, but if you have three legs on a stool and you remove one, it's not going to function like it's supposed to, all right? If you're like me, someone's going to get hurt, all right? But if you remove one leg, then things aren't going to function as they should. Now, if all three are in the right place, it works great. You don't have to have four legs on a stool. Three will work great as long as all three of them are in their place. But when one's missing or one's being cut short, you understand if you have a two-and-a-half-legged stool, it's not going to work. If one's getting cut short, there's going to be a problem somewhere along the line. Now, the problem today is, of course, is that a lot of us, if we'd be honest, a lot of God's people have one or two legs on their stool. Because oftentimes one is not where it should be. And as a result of that, there's a problem. We get focused on certain things and let other things be left undone. Some people are super separated in their life. They haven't had a television since they were black and white. And so they're super separated. I'm not mocking that. I'm just saying that some people are that way. But at the same time, their personal devotional life is going to pot, because they're focused on one thing. It doesn't make the thing they're focused on wrong, just means they're out of balance. Some people homeschool but neglect church. Some people are great at church but neglect their personal walk. I'm sure there's no one in here tonight that's faithful to church as clockwork. They're always here with their King James Bible and they're dressed in their tie and their suit. Not all three of those at the same time, but their suit and their dress and their tie. And they're always here for all of that. But I would be shocked if there's not some in this room who could say, you know, I'm here every time the doors are open and I'm looking the part and I'm amen at the right places and I may even be teaching my class, but I am not reading my Bible at all. Because we got so focused on certain things, we let other things go. That's a life that's out of balance. Absolutely it is. So the goal is to have all three in balance, ensuring that the most important things get done without leaving anything undone. Now, again, we can't fix this in one message, but let's say this. This is something that takes growth and spiritual maturity. It takes a certain level of spiritual maturity to maintain balance in your saved life. This is why newly saved converts, this is a general statement, This is why new converts tend to get focused. All right? Takes a guy a while to learn how to balance his life. Because at first when you get saved, you're kind of like that fireman. You're running from one new important thing to another new important thing. If you're saved, been saved for a while, do you remember that phase in your life? Where every week you come home and there was a new priority. This is going to be the priority now. This is going to be the thing we're going to focus on now. This is the thing we're going to take care of now. Because when you first get saved, you don't have the growth yet or the spiritual maturity. It doesn't mean you're immature per se, but you don't have the spiritual maturity yet to figure out how to balance all of this stuff. And sometimes we can make our family of all people most miserable. Because this week, bless God, this is what we're going to do. And this is what we're going to stop doing. And this is what we're never doing again. Because we get focused on all of this stuff. And we haven't learned yet to prioritize and how to leave some things done without other things undone. You have to have the maturity to be willing. Listen, here's part of the problem with balance. And that is you have to have the spiritual maturity and the desire to be willing to make hard decisions. Because if you're going to be balanced, you're going to have to make some difficult, hard decisions in your life. Difficult and hard because we're not going to want to do all of them that we have to do to maintain balance in our life. Takes some maturity, would you agree with that, to maintain balance? It also takes the willingness, also takes the desire for balance so much that we have the willingness to make some hard decisions. You can't do everything that you have to do. You just can't do it. And so for that reason, it should be obvious some things have to go so that we can do weighty things and not leave the less weighty undone. So how do we go about doing all of this? Again, this is no quick fix here tonight, nothing you want to already know. But first of all, number one, and here's where some of the hard decisions to achieve balance come in that I mentioned. First of all, if you're struggling with balance in your life and there are things being left undone, you may need to jettison, first of all, the unnecessary. You may need to jettison the unnecessary. I'm convinced that one of the biggest problems so many of God's people have with balance is they've got too much unnecessary stuff in their life. Doesn't mean it's bad stuff. Isn't that right? Doesn't mean there's necessarily anything wrong with it of itself. But if it's in the balance, if it's getting in the way of balance, if there are things that are, if the weighty things are getting done, but there's other less weightier things not getting done, then it might just be there's too much stuff. And I need to jettison the unnecessary in my life. This is where some of that hard decision making comes in, because there's some of that unnecessary stuff I like doing. There's nothing wrong with doing it, and I enjoy doing it, but it's getting in the way of my balance. You know why? Because it consumes time and energy and effort. And anything that consumes time, energy, or effort begins to get in the way of balance if we're not careful. And so I may have to jettison some problem. Your problem might be, in part, like Mary over in, what is that, Luke 10, I think it is, over in Luke 10, where Jesus said, Mary, you're cumbered about with too many things. And the word cumbered, if you've ever looked that up, I love the definition of the word cumbered. The word cumbered, if you look up the literal definition of the word cumbered, means to drag stuff around behind you. And that's what he was saying. He says, Mary, you're dragging too much stuff. And because of that, you're not getting the weighty stuff done. It's not that Jesus didn't care about her preparation of a meal, but she seemed to not understand that this wasn't necessary at this point. We could do without the dinner right now. What we need to do is listen to the discipleship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so she says, Mary, you're so cumbered about with all this stuff. You're dragging, again, the literal definition is dragging around too much stuff. She says, Mary, you got to put down some stuff. And I think the truth is, if we had to be honest, we fuss about our time, we complain about how busy we are, we point to the church that consumes all of our time, but many times if we look at our life, general statement, if we look at our life, it could probably be said that we're dragging some stuff around that we don't really have to drag around. And it gets in the way of, it may not be the only problem, but it gets in the way. Anything that consumes our time, energy, or effort is going to interfere with balance. Because we only have so much time. Anybody here got 25 hours in a day? It's a good thing you don't, because it's just like your garage. If you had another hour, you'd fill it up, right? And so we only have 24 hours. We only have 7 days in a week. We only have so much time in a year. And so because of that, we've only have so much time. And anything that consumes any of that time begins to get in the way of balance. Now, If we can work it out to where we can do the unnecessary and do the weighty and the less weighty, then there's nothing wrong with that if we can achieve that. But if we're having trouble with balance, the first place we have to look is at the unnecessary stuff. If you're struggling with balance, you may need to exercise the spiritual maturity and the wisdom to say, I'm failing in an area in which I should be balanced. I'm failing in an area that I'm not getting done. And part of the problem is I'm dragging too many unnecessary things, too many unnecessary activities, too many unnecessary involvements, too many unnecessary commitments that are not really important in my saved life, and they need to go. I'm having trouble with balance, but when I look at how much time I'm spending on Facebook a day, and I'm looking at how much time I'm spending on my smartphone a day, listen, if you're spending 4 hours a day playing games on your smartphone, you're not getting your housework done. You're not getting your Bible reading done. And it's these things that consume unnecessary time. Listen, is there anything wrong with playing a game on a smartphone? No. Well, I guess depending on the game for you theologians out there, but no, there's nothing wrong with that. But it takes what? Time. And if you can manage the time, fine. But it takes time. Hobbies. It's amazing how many of God's people just do not have time to get their Bible reading done, but they get plenty of time to watch TV. We don't have time for devotions or to spend time with the kids, but we got time to play television. We got plenty of time for the game console. And on and on and on it goes. We got time for hobbies, all of these things. And it may just be, again, nothing of those things, if they're not sinful, are wrong of themselves. But they take time. And as a result of that, we may have to let some unnecessary things go. I may have to say to myself, you know what, I'm having trouble maintaining balance in my life. This television's got to go. Probably wouldn't hurt us anyway, but it's got to go because I just spend too much time on it. Or we need to find some way to manage the time so that we're not consuming all of our time doing it. It's amazing how some stuff today, especially with our technology, how much time it consumes. Isn't it? It's amazing how much time a game console will consume. How much time you can spend on the computer. How much time we can spend on these things and suck up all this time. So we may have to get rid of some unnecessary things. It might be sports. It might be some other thing. Listen, if you can't get your stuff done, if you can't get your spiritual stuff done, if you can't be on time, fulfill your commitments at God's house and serving God, but you got time for sports, then sports needs to go. Or whatever you want to insert in that slot. So we may have to jettison the unnecessary. Come on, you with me? Come on, we still friends? Are you with me? We may have to jettison the unnecessary. May have to get rid of that. The first step to balance is to cut loose unnecessary things that are consuming our time and energy. Something that's cutting into one or more of the three legs on my stool. I need to quit dragging some of this stuff around. And would you agree with me tonight, maybe? You don't have to agree out loud. Would you agree with me tonight that the truth be known, this would probably help us as much with balance as anything. If we cut loose unnecessary things that we're dragging around that we don't really have to have or do. Secondly, I need to go to work on the legs of my stool by getting my home life in order. I need to get my home life in order. Now this, none of this is big, shocking, earth-moving stuff. I need to get rid of jettisoning the unnecessary. Secondly, I need to go to work. Remember, the other area of my life is my home. So I need to go to work getting my home life together. I'm going to hammer this again. Quit watching too much TV. Amen. Say amen. Focus on using time you have for that which is important in the home. Making my home a sanctuary from the world by getting rid of spiritual distractions in my life, in my home. Get rid of the computer if you have to. Get rid of the smart devices if you have to. Get rid of the TV if you have to. Whatever you got to do to get your life down to that which is important. Get off Facebook and your smart device and make family devotions and prayer time the priority. Don't sit there and watch TV while your children are getting in bed. Go pray with them. Focus on your home. That is, you know, our home should be focused on our home. That was deep. I should write an article about that. Focus your home on your home. Don't focus your home on the television or the computer or Facebook. It's sad, isn't it, that we live in a culture today where families in the evening don't talk to each other. Mom and Dad's over here on their smartphone. Sissy's over here on her smartphone. Billy's over here on his smartphone. And if they're not on their smartphone, they're on the game console or in front of the computer. It'd be interesting to know how many words families speak to one another today compared to what they spoke 20 years ago. So many families don't eat at the table anymore. We eat around the throne. You know what I'm talking about. Come on, what is it? The TV. See, you know. Guilty. We eat around the TV. And the trouble is, we've not made the home our priority anymore. Our homes are not a priority in our home. And because of that, we get out of balance. All of this stuff consumes... We talk about, I just don't have enough time for my family. I think I'm going to have to quit serving at church because I just don't have enough time for my family. So then we go home and spend our family time on our smartphone, eating dinner around the television, not talking to each other. But it's the church that's the problem. No, the problem is we're not working on that leg of our stool, which is our home. We're not making our home our home. You know what our home is? It's not the building we live in, is it? It's the people we dwell with. Maybe we should work on talking to each other, reading our Bibles together, praying together, eating together, spending time together. And if you're doing all that, praise the Lord. But that should be our focus, shouldn't it? Making our home our home. I told you nothing deep. If you're single, you also have a home. Don't use your secrecy for an opportunity for wrong things. And prioritize, because you have to carry the load by yourselves. Man, keep things neat and orderly in your home. Well kept, because failing to do so consumes time. Incorporate the kids into household duties. I know most of you do that, but most people today don't. Man, you got free slave labor. Put them to work. I would not sit around and do all the work while they sit on their smartphone. Put them to work. And incorporate them in the home, because that's what makes a home. Everybody working together. So I need to focus on getting rid of the unnecessary. And as I do that, that gives me more opportunity to focus on my home. We're getting rid of the unnecessary stuff in our home. And we're going to eat together and spend time together. And we're going to set limits on the time we spend on our phone. We're going to set limits on the TV. We're going to set limits on all this stuff. You know, most devices now, you can do that. You can cut them off. We won't get into whether or not a 13-year-old should have a smart device anyway. But at the same time, we need to limit that stuff. Amen? So that we can focus our home on our home. Then thirdly, I need to balance my home with church. I need to balance my home with church. You know, why so many people fail at balancing home and church, and I'll be done here. Why so many people fail at that is because they act as if family time and church time are always have to be separate. There's church time, and then there's family time. Now, I completely agree, you need family time. But there's nothing that says that we can't incorporate some of our family time with our church time. Here's a thought, we could actually serve God as a family, whatever your family is. We could serve God and make that part of our time serving one another. You know, there are people who often gripe because they're always at church and have no time for their family. You know, church time and family time don't have to be separate, not all the time. You know, one big key to balancing family and church is what many of you have already discovered. I know that because I see you come dragging them all in, and that is have family time serving God together at church. Man, bring those kids, if you have cleaning, bring those kids and clean together. If you do it when you're young, they'll just think it's life when they get older. You'll have them completely fooled. They'll think that everybody does this. That's what you're supposed to do. And bring them in. You know, and you've seen it, and I've seen it when you bring them in. These little kids, they love to come and clean and help. Amen. Now, they're usually more work than they are help, but that's okay. Because they're learning. And guess what you're doing together? Spending time and serving the Lord together. That's family time. We've convinced ourselves that family time is sitting around the TV together. That's not what family time is. It's talking to each other, and sometimes it's serving the Lord together. These little kids love to come and work in the church. They'll get their little wipe and go around wiping everything and smearing all the windows up and doing all the stuff that they do, and that's okay.
That's right.
As long as you fix it, that's okay. And they love and help, come help mom and dad clean or do whatever it is. Ladies, if your husband's working at the church doing something, doesn't mean you have to stay at home. Come with him and help out. Come together and clean and work as a family. Involve your kids in everything you do for the Lord. Take them out on visitation with you. And go do things with them. That's family time. You don't have to separate the two. It's a shame when some of God's people do so much with their family, but they don't do anything for the Lord with their family. It's great to help other people with your family, but it's also great to serve the Lord with your family. And the best way to do that is in church. Come out for work days. Get on the grass mowing list. Get on the cleaning list. Do those things. If not for the church's sake, do it for your children's sake. Good time to spend together as a family. Just serve the Lord together. It feels good to come to church with your kids and clean the building. I'm going to help the kids out now. Clean the building all together. Then stop somewhere and get a milkshake. Or an ice cream cone. Say amen, kids. That's good times.
Right.
As a family. That's the stuff they remember. Amen. So incorporate family time into church time. All of this saves time. And then lastly, parent yourself when it comes to your walk with the Lord. Amen. Parent yourself. You say, what in the world do you mean by that? Take charge of your life, your spiritual life. Get it done. Remember, the better my time is with God, the better wife I will be, the better husband I will be, the better young person I will be, the better my life will be. The better I will be at facing the challenges of everyday life. The better my time with God, the better single person I will be. The stronger I will be to face trials, the smarter I will be with priorities and balance. You know what? Listen. If you'll spend your time with God every day, He will help you with balance. Because He'll come along and say, hey, you're leaving something undone. God will help you with balance in your life. You'll find that personal time, listen, you will find that personal time with God is a time saver, not a time consumer. One of the stupidest things we say is, I just don't have time right now to read my Bible. You do understand that that's a time consumer, not a time saver. Because time with God saves us time. How does it save us time? Because God will show us what we need in the Word to deal with the garbage in life.
Amen.
So that we don't waste time.
Amen.
We have to parent ourselves and focus ourselves in our life. Listen, we've only got three areas in our life. Church, which is the only organization that God ever gave us to serve in. And so we need to be serving in our church. Amen? That's a part of who we are. It's not what we do. It's not something we can just cut loose. It's what we do. It's who we are.
That's right.
We're part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we're to serve Him there. And then there's myself. Man, I need to parent myself. Get my Bible reading done. Well, I just don't. No, come on. Get it done.
That's right. Amen.
Just get it done. It's not complicated, is it? No. Hey, do you have a job? Say amen.
Amen.
Do you go to work every day?
Amen.
All right. If you don't show up, do they not care? You just go, well, I'm kind of busy today, probably not going to make it in. If we get up and get to work and we get to school and we get stuff done and we get school started on time, we can get our Bibles read.
Amen.
Get it done. Parent yourself. Get our devotional life going. Take control of my walk with God. And through that, God will help you identify areas that are unnecessary and need to go. Our church, myself, then my home. Let's focus our homes on our home. We may need to jettison some unnecessary stuff. Start spending time with each other than all of you spending time with the TV or the computer or some other thing. Here's an idea. Quit taking pictures of everything you're doing and enjoy everything you're doing. I get so tired of seeing pictures on Facebook. This is us on our date night. Put your phone down. First of all, I don't care about pictures of you on your face night. I love you, but I really don't care about the fact you're on your date night, all right, with your picture. So enjoy each other and put the phone down. Because what happens is this. Oh, let's take a picture, which you'll never look at again. until your iCloud account gets full and you have to delete all that junk. So you take that picture, and then you post it on Facebook, and you're typing all kinds of cute stuff on her instead of talking to each other. That's stupid. Spend time with each other. We do so much stuff that we waste time, isn't it true? And it really isn't as complicated to find balance as we let on like it is. If we jettison the unnecessary, amen? If we make our home our home, where we cut out all this time-wasting stuff that we claim we don't have time to spend with each other, or do we should don't have time in our home anymore. Get rid of the unnecessary junk and focus your home on your home. Focus your marriage on your marriage. Amen? And then focus on myself. I'm going to get my Bible reading done. I'm just going to get it done. I get to work every day. I manage to post something every day. Surely I can manage to get my Bible read. Take charge of my saved life. Because I understand if I spend time with God, He will save me time that I can spend with my family and other areas of my life. If I will focus on these things. No magic bullet. Amen? Not difficult. Probably the biggest one is jettison the unnecessary. Amen? Stand with me if you would.